This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, and Mountain High Health Foods. For health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living, stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling us, callers, please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Peace, well, former U.S. Senator Al Simpson is here. Al, how are you doing today?
Here for the monthly bloodletting. Bring him on. Bring him on.
You're ready for him, huh?
Yes, and I was fascinated. This woman I've been living with for 64 years was on there just a few minutes ago. I want to remind people that I've lost a little weight in the last 4 months, about 15 pounds, and there's a lot of wonderful clothes in there. So if you have a husband or a boyfriend that looks like a scarecrow, get in there and buy up my old pants.
Okay.
There, how's that for a tip? And they're good. They're nice little chinos, and they're beautiful, and they hang on me like an elephant crotch, so I'm giving them up.
I must say there'd be nothing like wearing your pants, Al.
Nothing. There'd be no one to think of wearing them.
Yeah, well, hey, it's good utility, but it's a nice, the Encore sale is always nice, and I know your wife helps put that together, and she was on just before you, so we've got two doses of The Simpsons today. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a medicinal thing.
Is
two
that what
doses
that is?
Is too much.
Two doses is too much, right?
That's right. That can kill.
Well, meanwhile, I appreciate you coming in. Before
it's a pleasure.
To get things rolling, I just got to get your thoughts on the recent Park County Republican Lincoln Day dinner, which seemed to be a smashing success. You were there. What were your thoughts on it?
I thought it was very well done. And they went to work, and they sat down and had these meetings before the thing, and they were the guys from the, quote, the right and, quote, from the left, and the Tea Party and the rhinos and their spouses, and they all sat down and put together a very lovely event. Got Dick Cheney to come, and people seemed to enjoy that. They oversold the house to have a reception with Dick Cheney, and that went well. And then the event itself was a dandy, and our leader did a great job, our county chairman, and it was just great, and they raised about $40,000.
What does the former vice president, I don't know if you ever asked him this, but what does he think about coming to Cody? Does he enjoy his time when he comes to Cody, Dick Cheney?
He always did. And then Lynn has a cousin here. I think he's still living here,
okay,
as far as I know. I haven't seen that person for a while, but I know that she has a first cousin that lives in Cody, and they've always loved to come to Cody to participate. He's on the board of the Buffalo Bill Center of the West, and he loves to fish in the area and has lots of pals in the area where he can go and catch a fish and a nap and escape the world.
Well, it's nice to have him here. It's always a joy to get the former vice president here. Always, an honor, absolutely an honor. Now, I want to jump to a big event that's happening tonight, it's historic. It could be even more historic than just the fact that they're meeting. But the U.S. and North Korea summit in Singapore, it's going to happen. I don't know how they work this out. But 7 o'clock our time is when they're going to be meeting in Singapore, President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The first time a U.S. president's ever met a North Korean leader, first ever meeting between the two. But it could be even bigger than just the fact that meeting, possibly, right?
It could be the lead into something that really could change the course of history. It's either going to be historic or hysteric.
That's a good way to put it, sure.
And old Donald J. is used to walking out of things if he doesn't like them. So he said he'd do that if things don't go well. But I never see anything wrong with visiting with people you don't agree with. I don't care who it is. I've tried to do that during my lifetime, and I've done it locally with people who didn't agree with me and still don't. But sit down and let them know who you are, and then you find out who they are. What are their background? What drives them? What spooks them up? What fears do they have? What goals do they have? I think you're going to find that you don't give up anything just by meeting. And I'm always appalled because when I was in the Senate, I'd say, why don't we visit with this country or that country? And don't forget, during the Cold War, we had a telephone right next to every president and every leader of the Soviet Union and had diplomatic relations. We talked all the time. And when you give people the ice treatment and say, I'm not talking to you, it destroys every relationship, destroys marriages, destroys any kind of friendship. So sit down, you got nothing to lose. And one of the previous administrations of all kinds said, yeah, well, no, you got to watch out here. You don't want to do that because, you know, they may take advantage of you and you may give up something. I said, only if you're a fool. I mean, what do you got to lose? So let her rip, see what happens.
Why do you think, maybe it's a simple answer, but why do you think some on the left are trying to downplay this meeting? I mean, I don't know why anybody would do that, but there are some people on the left that think this is, you know, this is not a big deal. You know, is it an anti-Trump player? What can you say about that?
Well, I think those are people who hate Trump. They're not going to put any kind of star in his crown, and they're scared to death that if he does it, string something together, at least gets a start on stringing something together in the future, that this guy Trump will probably win the Nobel Peace Prize. It'll sure as hell be more appropriate than Obama receiving it when in his first year, which I thought was the goofiest thing I'd ever heard of. And then he ended up the wartime president in many ways and the deportation king.
Now, have you ever been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, Darrell?
No, they did, and then they burned the ballots.
Oh, is that what happened? They burned the ballots.
It was a visible thing. They said, who?
A public burning, then, huh?
Well, yes, and then in effigy, too. They burned your body in effigy.
Oh, my goodness.
And the ballots.
Well, so much for your nomination.
It didn't go well.
I had to ask. I mean, you never know. But
you should.
So this very important meeting tonight. Of course, President Trump is going to ask North Korea to dismantle its nuclear weapons program, and North Korea is going to ask for security assurances. How far you think this thing's going to get? Do you think there's actually going to be an end game here? There's something's going to be accomplished tonight, or do you envision these two possibly meeting somewhere down the road, which they said they might happen?
They will meet somewhere down the road.
Again,
what will happen here. It could blow up. It could start, but something down the road will happen in this atmosphere, where you know who's got the biggest button to push with their biggest hand or their biggest thumb is a stupid way to go through life, and that's got to stop. And if we can put a stop to that, and then, of course, dealing with other allies now on these trade things, that's pretty brutal now into it with China, not the greatest ally of all time, surely, but certainly Mexico.
Hell yeah.
And Canada have been pretty good allies. Anyway, you and I could sit here for 5 days without sleep and never know what these two guys will come up with.
No, it should be very fascinating.
It will.
You know, and we don't know what there's going to be some kind of a formal agreement at the end of their meeting tonight, but what's possible and what could be something that can overshadow any kind of dismantling of new North Korea's nuclear weapons program could be a possible peace treaty to formally end the Korean War. Well, that would be huge, wouldn't it?
That would be quite a step. It would be a remarkable step. And, you know, think of it. We had a wonderful little ceremony out here at the Veterans Park with a woman who came to visit all of the Korean memorials in the United States and pay homage, doing it on her own. And there's awful few veterans of that war now. That was in 50. So it would be a very important thing. I would think even those who were in serious combat over there would think, you know, time to put it together. First, it is a war. It wasn't, just whatever. They tried to call it a
conflict
thing,
or whatever.
And, oh, yeah, that was all the eyewash. It is a war, and if you could sign a peace treaty to a war, unconditional, that would be a good thing. I think it would be a very good thing.
If you're a betting man, you think there's a good chance that this may be a totally 100% political, or not political, but public relations stunt for Kim Jong-un. He may be just doing this to say, hey, look at me. I'm meeting with President Trump. I'm a nice guy, and then nothing happened. You think that's a possibility?
Oh, I do think so. I think he could easily step back and say, guess what? The great Satan met me in Singapore, and I washed his face and pushed it in the sand, and ha-ha, that could happen.
Boy, if something like that happens, I would have to believe that if it just turns out to be a public relations stunt for Kim Jong-un, President Trump's not going to think too kindly of that, and that might be their last meeting. It could make things worse, possibly.
It could.
If that happens.
That is exactly what could happen right here tonight. It could get worse.
What kind of security do you think is? I mean, I haven't got a chance to read into this a whole lot, but about security for this whole meeting in Singapore, I could just imagine what security must be like for this thing. It's like some things like we never maybe even seen before.
I would think everything in Singapore is stopped dead.
Yeah, that whole part of the world possibly.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously going to close access. They've monitored all the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams. That's where this stuff starts now. It's all generated by social media.
Of course.
Let's go break this up. And I'm sure the security is tremendously heavy. Will be, should be. But let me tell you, it's a chance. What do you lose when you have a chance? Any kind of a chance to avoid the destruction of a world, at least the part that we don't know of. But if they start flipping the switches on that stuff, and he says he can reach the West Coast with some of that hardware, I guess we'll wake up and smell the coffee.
For somebody that knew him pretty well, what would you say, Al, what would President Reagan think about this meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Trump? I'm just assuming that he would be like just overjoyed the fact that they're sitting down and talking. I think because he did a somewhat similar thing with Gorbachev. So I mean, I'm assuming he would probably think that's a good thing.
Oh, he would love this. This was Reagan's cup of tea, especially with Gorbachev. You know, it didn't take him long to charm Gorbachev, and Gorbachev to charm him, and then to come up with the phrase "trust but verify." Now, if that same phrase can come up here with the North Korean leaders, trust but verify, that's a good start. But no, Reagan, with that big smile and telling corny jokes, he'd have had him on the ropes. That's what he loved.
What kind of security assurances do you think North Korea really wants from the United States? Is there any, I mean, specifics you think that they're really going to look for in some kind of deal with President Trump?
Well, they're worried about, you know, what the U.S. has in its back pocket with South Korea. Because if the buttons get pressed, Seoul, South Korea, is incinerated. And they don't like to see the South Koreans and the Americans and joint naval things out there in the water. Well, maybe they might give that up. They might say, okay, we won't do that anymore. But no more stuff, what you're digging that hole over in that certain northeast region, because we follow you every day with either a U-2 or some kind of instrument or satellite, and we know what you're building there. You got to give that up. It's going to get quite specific, and that has to come. But yeah, it's big time. It's the biggest thing confronting the world right now.
You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of critics that say that I don't know if there's a lot, but there's some that say that China's behind this whole thing. They're telling Kim Jong-un, listen, you know, if you can't talk and try to do something, we're not going to back you anymore. You need to try to make some kind of agreement or deal. Do you think China's behind some of this stuff with this meeting with President Trump?
I think they, in a sense, that North Korea wouldn't be doing it if China weren't well aware of it and putting either a tacit approval on it or maybe pushing it in dark,
deep ways.
Well, I'll be curious if nothing comes out of this, if what China's reaction is going to be to this whole thing. If Kim Jong-un just falls flat in his face and decides not to talk to Donald Trump, or if they can't make up a deal because Kim Jong-un's playing hardball and won't give in or anything. I'm curious to see what China's reaction is going to be to North Korea after that.
I don't know, but, you know, now we have all sorts of problems with China in the South China Sea.
That's right.
They've built a huge military base. They've built things that can land long-range bombers. They got missile silos. All the world has been watching, and they've got that now. They have that capability to do things that they've never known. They don't care about Taiwan. They still think that's a bastard operation over there, and they may still mess with it. Oh, there's lots of stuff in the air.
It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight in Singapore, but we're going to take a quick break on Speak Your Peace. If you'd like, join the conversation today with former U.S. Senator Al Simpson. Give us a call, 587-1400. We're back with more Speak Your Peace right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
I never expected to find a health food store like this in Wyoming.
This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and we hear that comment often. If you're traveling through Cody, we hope you will stop in. Maybe you ran out of probiotics or need something for sinus relief. We have an exciting selection of vitamins, herbs, and minerals, and healthy snacks. From cheese and crackers to organic nuts, kombucha, aloe vera, and coconut water beverages. Mountain High Health Foods, across from Albertsons at the top of the hill in Cody.
All of you are going camping this weekend?
Yeah, pitch a tent.
This body isn't built to sleep on the ground. Plus, there might be bears.
Well, you guys have been thinking about buying a camper for a while now.
Yeah, but we're not quite ready.
So why don't you rent one? Arrowhead RV in Powell has rentals.
No way!
Yes way! They'll fill it up with water and propane and haul it wherever you want, and then they'll pick it up when you're done.
Arrowhead RV in Powell. They'll have you glamping in no time. 754-0272.
McIntosh Oil has been serving the Bighorn Basin for over 50 years with bulk fuel delivery and a 24-hour card lock system for their customers. Now they're excited to announce they've expanded their services to include a credit and debit card system at the pumps for non-customers to purchase both unleaded and diesel. Searching for red fuel? McIntosh has red fuel to serve all your machines. Located on South Street in Powell. McIntosh Oil, serving the entire Bighorn Basin for over 50 years.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick.
Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope opens in movie theaters May 25th, 1977. It's groundbreaking visual effects. Special effects were like we had never seen before. So that in itself changed Hollywood forever. And that makes Star Wars one of the most influential films of all time and one of the biggest pop culture spotlights.
Daybreak with Darren Dudrick. Morning 6 to 10 on KODI.
Tiled floors are ideal for any room, but when you add warmth to tile, you add a touch of luxury that brings your flooring experience to a whole new level. Imagine bare feet on a nice, cozy floor that also has all the benefits associated with tile, available in endless designs, colors, and sizes, and offers easy maintenance and is allergen-free. When properly installed, a heated tile floor is practically indestructible. Isn't it time you installed a warm, luxurious tile floor? Abbey Carpet, on the West Strip in Cody.
This is professional rodeo announcer Boyd Paul Hamus inviting you to the world-famous Buffalo Bill Cody Stampede, July 1st through the 4th. You're in for quite a thrill as the top PRCA cowboys and cowgirls compete against the toughest stock in the world. Partner, this is the real deal. The largest one-header rodeo in the nation.
Enjoy the added excitement of the Extreme Bull Tour Saturday, June 30th at 8 p.m. Get tickets today at the Stampede office downtown Cody or online at CodyStampedeRodeo.com.
No matter how hard you ride or how hard you fall, Dr. Jimmy Biles and Yellowstone Sports Medicine are your best call. So live it up, Wyoming. But when things get tough, our friendly professional crew will keep you going. Whatever your passion, outdoor recreation, on the court, or on the course, we back your play. With orthopedic surgery, sports medicine, and a great workout facility, Yellowstone Sports Medicine will keep you in the game.
Need new wheels, but your credit has taken a beating? Midway Auto Sales in Cody and Worland is ready to help. Call 307-587-7571 or go online at midwayautosales.com for an online application. It's free, easy, and confidential. Midway has the largest selection of pre-owned autos in Northwest Wyoming. Bankruptcies, collections, medical, or divorce. Your credit problems are no problem. Call 307-587-7571 or go online at midwayautosales.com. Midway, when you expect the best.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with former U.S. Senator Al Simpson. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Now, I thought, Al, you'd be in Singapore tonight, but you're not in Singapore. Vacationing in Singapore. Al's here on Speak Your Peace with me today. I appreciate that.
Yes, I have been to Singapore.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yes, I was with a delegation to meet that very famous leader of Singapore, and I regret that I can't recall his name, but he received international recognition as a peacemaker and a government idealist, but it's a different kind of idealism in Singapore. You steal a loaf of bread and they'll chop your finger off. You know, it's a little different than here. And people are very orderly in Singapore. Because if you ain't orderly, you might croak.
Oh, is that
in
what
the middle of the night? Yeah.
Aha, just yeah, something might happen.
It's great democracy.
So what
and
it
is.
What do you think? President Trump and Kim Jong-un are safe in Singapore? Would you say?
Lord, you couldn't be in any country that would be safer. They're used to being herded up. They're used to being not punished but disciplined. There's a difference. It's a country of citizens who are well aware of their duty to be subservient citizens. And dissent is not really thrilled, is not a thrilling concept. At least that was my concept of Singapore 20 years ago.
Now, I want to jump from, for lack of a transition, jump from Singapore to something that's happening here in Wyoming. I know that you've been somewhat a part of. It's the group Wyoming Promise, and their push to get a 28th Amendment added to the U.S. Constitution. And I know that it's gotten some criticism, like anything else does, Al. We know how this stuff works. The far right, if you don't, we're all in trouble. But there's someone, I think of the far right mainly, that doesn't like this because they feel like it's a threat to their First Amendment rights. Tell us, can you explain for the listening audience what this would do, the 28th Amendment, and why you support it?
Well, it's going to be a long haul, and you got to get a lot of signatures, and that was put on the books when I was in the Wyoming legislature. We'd seen what happened in California, where every time there was a hot issue before the California legislature, they'd just put it up for a referendum or some kind of thing out there and say, and now when you vote in California, there are 48 items on the ballot. So we said, now, if you're going to have the ability to form something, a new something, a constitutional amendment, whatever it is, you're going to need so many signatures, and you have to have so many signatures, and you have to have so many from 16 counties of the 23. So it's a tough haul, but that's not the point. The whole purpose of the 28th Amendment is to overturn the case of Citizens United, which said, in violation in our minds, of everything that was ever part of the Constitution, that money is free speech under the First Amendment. And secondly, that a corporation is a person under the terms of the First Amendment. Let me tell you, the First Amendment was the only thing put on the books that had to do with a person. All the rest of them had to do with everything else, you know, corporations, organizations, government. And the reason was they kept the media about 100 yards away from all their work. The media was not allowed to be anywhere near in Philadelphia. There was a reason for that, because they knew the leaks would be the same as happens right now. Every time you come out of a session, hear somebody babbling into the vapors, screwing it all up. So when they finished their work, they said, God, wait a minute. That's why it's called the First Amendment. There's a reason for it. They said, what about this guy cranking out literature in the basement in Philadelphia, tearing us to bits? Seditious literature and these guys are fools. He has to be protected, he or she. So they put the First Amendment on there for a person, to protect a person's personal right of free speech. Have nothing to do with a corporation is not a person. It's an entity created by the state. It's an institution of its own. So you got guys who really fight it because they don't understand that it's not going to affect them. It's not going to affect their little corporation. We're getting the word out, but you know, in Wyoming, you'll always lose the first crack or two, and then once you educate them, they'll come along with you. So we're educating people to say, you know, this isn't a violation of First Amendment. In fact, in the drafting of the thing, they're being very careful to preserve the rights under the First Amendment. The actual language has not been set. The states have done resolutions. 19 states have done a resolution that they want to get the 28th Amendment. That's what we're working on. Then they'll get together and put together, and a lot of it will have to do with the state's ability to set their own level of money in politics. It might be state funded. It might be the guy who's a great candidate, but he can't raise a nickel, but he's smart and he should be in the game. And he can't get in the game. It's called leveling the playing field, too. There's a lot to it. I would think anybody who believes in fairness, basic fairness, would want to say a corporation is not a voice. It's a voice that will overcrowd everybody else's little voice. Who the hell is going to give $5 when some jerk out there is given $5 million? It stinks. It looks like corruption. I don't care what the right or the left think about it, but I'll tell you, the American people think this is corrupt. This is wrong. We don't even know who they are. They can put it in anonymously, and the Supreme Court has said that that's a right protected by the First Amendment. We think that's goofy.
So, well, what this does, basically, just if the 28th Amendment basically would specify that Congress and state legislatures may regulate all monies raised and spent for political purposes. Is that pretty much, in a nutshell, what a 28th Amendment would do? It would limit how much can be given by companies and corporations for political purposes?
That's part of it, but it would say that a corporation is not a person to be protected under the rights of the First Amendment, and that money itself. And that happened years ago with a case called, I can't remember the name of it. There's been about six or seven of them. and they held that the guy, rich guy in California, that he could spend himself into oblivion, and that was his right of free speech. Didn't matter what the other guys were doing. That case came on, and other cases came on. You can quote them all. And I tell people, yeah, you know, I can read and write. But the point is, if you want to get a semblance of honesty and accountability and transparency back in the system, which people talk about continually, but I find that people who really resist this are the people who don't want transparency. They don't want disclosure. They want to keep jacking the money into the system and pretending, what do you mean I have a conflict? Well, I saw plenty of that in the Wyoming legislature when I was a member. So, you know, oh, we're so small state, so we all know what the other guy's doing. Forget it. I saw guys mucking around in seven or eight industries, and nobody even knew anything about it.
Some people that are opposed to this idea of a 20th Amendment, what they've told me, and basically that there's a concern that if you have a 28th Amendment, The First Amendment, as I mentioned, is going to be threatened because some lawyer somewhere is going to find some kind of loophole, and it could just open the door for people to censor the First Amendment and prevent the First Amendment from being utilized like it should be. And this is the first step in changing the Constitution is what they say. Al,
those people will be here forever. They're scared of everything. They think everything is the first step of the slippery slope, whether it's the UN on land use planning. Where did that baby go? That was about 4 or 5 years ago.
I remember
the UN
that.
Was messing around in the Cody's zoning and planning. I said, have a drink. Go downtown and get sobered up. But, yeah, those people will always be there. The point being, you either there are batteries of lawyers, since we're talking about lawyers right now. There are groups all over America working on the language of this amendment. And the language of it will come when the resolutions have come in, as enough states have qualified for this. And this battery of evil lawyers will be sitting down seeing, how do you do this and still protect every right under the First Amendment? It can be done.
Now, the goal currently is for Wyoming promised to get enough signatures to get this thing on the ballot in November. Is that right?
To get the resolution that we want to do that, yeah.
What do you think of the chances, Al, considering how conservative Wyoming is pretty much at the state legislature and so forth, of the state legislature supporting something like this? Do you think that...
I don't know, but they have a lot. We have supporters in the state legislature. Somebody said, well, this must be a Democrat thing. I was at a session in Sheridan a few weeks ago, and a woman got up and said, I heard that the unions were very opposed to this. I said, lady, if that's the case, there wouldn't be a single Democrat on this thing. And there are hundreds of Republicans on it, state legislators.
Rhinos, too, right?
Oh, rhinos, monsters. Left-wing kookos, right-wing kookos, Tea Party's hangers-on, or you name it, libertarians, constitutionalists, all anybody with a brain knows that you can't just go on in America with unlimited anonymous funding. I mean, there's so many spears you can throw at any argument except the one, well, I don't think it's going to do anything for the First Amendment. Well, let me tell you, pal, when we get our first $50 billion president, he'll want to do something, because somebody will come along and say, I want to be president, and with Citizens United, I can spend literally billions of dollars on my campaign and stuff it, Jack, and you're going to get it. I don't think there's any what's the reality of that?
There's also another claim made, and I'm throwing these out there, that I've heard from people that don't support this.
The communists?
That's you could probably just summarize it that way. Certainly, that's a nice way to summarize it. But they'll say, if you look at Wyoming Promise as website, and then American Promise or whatever the other their national affiliate is, mm-hmm. you see there's a lot of far left wing liberal type people that support Wyoming Promise and American Promise and stuff like that. So you're linking yourself to a far left groups. What do you say to that? Because I haven't checked which ones, but they're specific about some of those on the list of people that support this venture.
Then if they can share the names of those rotten kind of progressive poops, then I can give you the names of some of the right wing kookos who are supporting it on the other side, who are Tea Party guys, who are everything. This is nuts. This isn't some liberal bent. Sure, there are people who are involved in it who are Democrats. I know that's disgusting, but they are. And then there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in the original movement who are Republicans of every stripe. And they're from state legislators of Pennsylvania and Ohio and Wyoming. I can give you the names. I mean, this is nuts. This is the kind of crap you have to go through in politics. When nobody's – I've learned the hard way. Anything you want to do will be attacked by emotion, fear, guilt, or racism. Emotion, fear, guilt, or racism. This is always the first step on knocking down anything you want to fly. And it'll never stop. And then you have to beat them with facts. And then they don't like that at all, and it irritates them. And then they get busy and try to kill it off for you anyway.
Now, the national group is American Promise, and people can go out of their website and make their own minds up. It's AmericanPromise.net, and Wyoming Promise is Wyoming Promise. .org. So, you know, it's interesting, Al, why those on the far right, every time you're involved with something, they say, wait a minute here, this is not a true conservative thing, because Al Simpson's involved. Do you hear that a lot?
Oh, there you got it. It's very simple. I mean, I won every award And I send it to people who I get the damnedest crap you can ever imagine.
You
can't believe it. My email is in four-letter words. And I take a bunch of flack. But let me tell you, when I was in the U.S. Senate, I was the third-ranking most conservative fiscal person. I won the Watchdog of the Treasury Award, the Better Business Award, the U.S. Chamber. I won that. I was even head of Dole sometime, or head of McCain. I did those things, and I send that to people. But you see where I failed all the tests. I believe that abortion is a horrible, horrible thing. Who the hell wants to even sit at the table and talk about something like that if it's affecting your own family? But it's a deeply intimate and personal decision by the person involved, and her loved ones or her pastor, whoever it is, have nothing to do with a legislator, especially a man legislator. I love to see men legislators voting to do those restrictions. I would say, do I have to check with a female legislator if I get a vasectomy? That'll really get them going. That's such fun to get them going. And the other one is, I have a gay cousin. I had a wonderful, he was a war hero, Silver Star. Another one who was a teacher in Illinois. And they were creative, wonderful people, and one gay and one lesbian. What is that all about? And then to get a letter that say, a gay or lesbian person is going to burn in hell. Well, that is the cruelest, especially from a Christian. I mean, to think a Christian would think that. So, you know, what the hell is that all about? And let me tell you, I know some phony balonies in this party, and I don't name their names, who are right-wing cuckos, who have relatives who are gay and lesbian and don't admit it and are homophobes themselves. That stinks.
What about the people, Al, that are they're very much pro-life? That's in. And you've said before, everybody's pro-life. You said this on the show.
Yeah.
And those that support pro-life and that are against abortion under any circumstance, they'll say, what about the child? I mean, should the woman, if she has the right to decide, does she have the right to take the life of another person?
I don't get into that stuff. I'm just saying it is a great, deeply intimate and personal decision. And then partial birth abortion is not about ripping the child from the womb. It's the doctor that examined and found that this child is being born with a caul, which is a fabric which would tear up the birth canal. Or maybe the child is a hydrocephalic with a head so big it would rip her reproductive organs. And so they have a procedure. And you go in and take the fetus out. You crush it, so that person can have children in the future. And I have had those people, women, sitting in my office saying, well, we're God-fearing people. And Senator, this was when I was in Washington, and here's Lydia and Freddie. And the reason we have them is because we had that procedure done years ago, and my wife's reproductive organs were not destroyed, and we have these beautiful children. I said, don't give me any more of this stuff about babies, and you know, I've been there, and so are human beings there. So what is the purpose of punishing someone? I don't get it. I don't understand the punitive parts. And look at Ireland. Here's mm-hmm. the greatest Catholic country on earth, and mm-hmm. what did they do by a 2-to-1 vote? The structures got so bad you couldn't get an abortion even with rape or incest or anything, and you had the time limit and so on, and the Catholics and the Protestants and the Muslims threw it all out, said, get rid of it. Get whatever happened to freedom.
Do you believe life begins at conception?
I don't have any idea. I don't get into that. I know I have daughters. I have wives. I've seen the people. I've seen people in my office who told me, if I have to have this child, I'm going to commit suicide. Where do I go, Simpson? I said, you can't go to Wyoming. This is 30 years ago. So they go to Seattle and get one, or get the coat hanger guy down in Casper to jerk it out of there. And they did commit suicide. I don't need to be the judge of that.
So basically, it's social issues that get with you that rile up the conservatives.
They hate me. I've been called a baby-quilling, queer-loving son of a bitch.
They don't cut any corners with
No, that's what I've been called.
So it's that one area, the social issues that have that give you the rhino title, so to speak.
You bet.
And but they don't look at anything else that you've done. They just look at the social
issues. They don't care about that. And so the Tea Party people, Rob DiLorenzo, good egg. I like him. He invited me to visit with the Tea Party board out in Emblem. I said, great. And I sat out there for half a day, and he and his wife, Diane, had a nice lunch. And I just listened, and I said, you don't know who I am. But you know one thing. You don't like my issues on social issues. So you've condemned me to the fires because of that. And yet all you're talking about in the Tea Party movement is fiscal sanity and cut spending. Well, guess what? They just turned whore. They just sent themselves down the river. This last bill was a spending bill, and they just sent the bill to their great-grandchildren. That's big courage.
Very interesting. We're going to take a quick break. If you'd like to join the conversation today with former U.S. Senator Al Simpson, give us a call, 587-1400. Back with more Speak Your Peace right after these messages.
Almost anything Big R's got.
Now at Linton's Big R, burlap bags. Great for storage, hauling, home decor, lawn and garden, and more. Usually close to $3, now 99 cents each. And check out the Troy-Built Pony 42X riding mower at $9.99 in the Lawn and Garden Supercenter at Linton's Big R.
Almost anything Big R's got it.
The convenience of oral surgery close to home. The highly skilled team of oral surgeons at Billings Oral Surgery offer everything from general tooth extractions to wisdom teeth removal and dental implants. They maximize patients' comfort and are dedicated to providing prompt and compassionate care. Billings Oral Surgery on Bighorn Avenue in Cody. Call 587-5451 or visit BillingsOralSurgery.com.
We love to see you smile.
GL International, carpet and upholstery cleaning. No gimmicks, no coupons, straight talk, honest pricing. 754-3114. We keep it clean.
This has been Business Card on the Air, a service of the Bighorn Radio Network.
I will work for you and with you. This is Julie Snelson, broker owner at Peaks to Prairie Realty. Put my love of Wyoming and my market knowledge to work for you. Call today, Julie Snelson.
This has been Business Card on the Air, a service of the Bighorn Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Darren Dudrick, host of the award-winning talk show Speak Your Peace on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM. Join me mornings 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, as I interview guests from around the city, county, state, and even the nation, and take your phone calls regarding a wide range of topics and issues that affect you. That's Speak Your Peace, weekday mornings 9 to 10, with rebroadcast 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, only on KODI 1400 AM and 96.7 FM.
For governor, we need the right experience. Republican Mark Gordon, rancher, small businessman, work in the energy industry. Mark Gordon is currently state treasurer, but he started out on the local school board, then served on the board of the Northern Wyoming Mental Health Center and on the Federal Reserve. Mark Gordon knows from the ground up how Wyoming works and how to keep state government under control. Mark Gordon, Republican for governor.
Paid for by friends of Mark Gordon.
For 30 years now, Haskell Flooring has been serving the Bighorn Basin. This is Kim Scheid, flooring manager, and if you're considering new flooring, you owe it to yourself to visit our showrooms. We guarantee the lowest price on quality flooring every day, and we personally guarantee our installation. Or, if you like to do it yourself, ask about our great cash and carry pricing. We will not be beat. Stop in today, Haskell Furniture and Flooring in Cody, Lovell, and Moreland, where we have better than Billings pricing every day.
Planning a rustic Wyoming wedding with wide open spaces, clear lakes, and stunning mountain backdrops? Monster Lake Ranch is the perfect place to say I do. Call us today for all the details. We also invite you to join us every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for dinner in the Bliss Restaurant. You will love what Chef DeWitt is cooking up. The menu is always new and always delicious. Monster Lake Ranch, just 10 minutes south of Cody. Call 587-5960.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, today visiting with former U.S. Senator Al Simpson. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Vicki Kirkhoff.
Hi, Vicki. How are you?
How do you do?
I'm good.
Good, good. I wanted to say to Al, thank you for doing such a good job for so many years for Wyoming. And also, I'd also like to ask him a question, how to pass a law to stop puppy mills in the state of Wyoming.
To stop what?
Puppy mills, where they raise pups.
Oh.
You know, it's really terrible how they do it. So I was just wondering, my daughter passed a law, the Amy law, and I was thinking about seeing how you go about passing a law so that people, if they want to raise pups, hey, raise a couple pups, but when they stack them on top of each other in the cages, I rescued a puppy mill dog, and it's really horrible what they do. So I was just wondering if there's a way to pass a law for that.
Well, you contact your state. Well, first of all, I didn't realize there were puppy mills in Wyoming. I'm probably not really familiar with the full definition. So the definition is just raising puppies in a miserable, inhumane,
environment.
Well, you'd start with your legislator. That's a state law. That's how you start that. You go, there'll be a new legislator from this district. Representative Scott Cord has decided not to run, and they're candidates there that will be running in that district, and then you have the state senator who will be there for another 2 years, Senator Cole. And then Senator Northrup here in Park County. Just get the list of your legislators. Some are opposed this go round, some are not. You'll know who they are, and
okay.
You take that issue to them and just say, "Here's the facts. What can we do to prevent this?" And that would start right at, it wouldn't be a city ordinance that would do anything, because I've never heard of one in Cody, Wyoming, but that's not.
No, not in Cody. I don't think they have them in Cody. I don't know.
But ma'am, I might add that you may, just ironically, I've got Senator Coe and Representatives Northrup and Larson on speaker piece tomorrow. They're scheduled for tomorrow, so if this is something you'd like to call directly and talk to them about over there, you're welcome to call tomorrow on speaker piece.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, but that.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You know, speaking or sticking to state oriented stuff, Al, just your thoughts on the gubernatorial race for governor. There's six gubernatorial candidates. I know that. Let's see. We got Mark Gordon, Harriet Hageman, Sam Galeotis, Bill Dahlin, Taylor Haynes, and Foster Freeze. And then, of course, one constitutional party candidate in Rex Rammel. Any thoughts on the six candidates for governor and the Republican side?
Well, for first, you do full disclosure, and Ann and I are supporting Mark Gordon. His father, Crow Gordon, was from Buffalo. When I ran in 78 for the U.S. Senate for the first time, he and his young son, Mark, were very much supporters of mine, and through the years continued that. And so when he decided, and then I voted and assisted him when he ran for the state treasurer, I think he's absolutely one of the brightest guys that has ever came around. He knows the game. He knows the finances. What could be more important than Wyoming, for Wyoming right now, than finances, revenue? How are you going to get, you're going to get things cut. What do you cut? And imagine what he did the last time. Maybe you don't, but he passed by going around the state a constitutional amendment, which is so tough to do, about investing into the market rather than into the equities market to get more money for the state and a treasurer, and he got about $1 billion more over his tour. There isn't a question you can ask him about running government that he can't answer. And he passes all the tests of social issues.
No.
You have to have that.
Unlike you, apparently, right?
There isn't anybody like me. You have to pass all the tests of the social, and that is that you're opposed to abortion. And I have a lot of trouble with gay lesbian marriage, but not, not gay lesbians, just what they do. That's the usual dodgem game. Anyway, so I'm very much helping him, and I know Sam Galeotis very well. Good egg. Know him for a long time. Foster Freeze was a neighbor up South Fork, and then he moved to Jackson, most of his activities. So, you know, Wyoming's small enough to know, and Harriet Hageman, very active person. These are all Taylor Haynes. He never quits. He's like the Energizer Bunny. I don't remember the
six. Bill Dahlin.
I don't know him.
I had him on Speak Your Peace on Friday. He's a Sheridan businessman. Very interesting.
Heard that.
Yeah.
But Wyoming is small enough. They'll be out there. They only have about 2.5 more months to be out there. And I always tell all of them, and they'll call me, and I'll say, look, I am committed, but I'll be glad to answer your questions, or you can ask me anything. And they'll say, well, I'm doing great. I'm going around, and I go door to door, and people are very cordial. I said, I did the door-to-door for years. And you have to remember just one thing when you go door-to-door and you finish your spiel and you give it. If the person says, good luck, as you leave, they ain't going to vote for you.
That's a true sign you're not going to get their vote.
The true sign is when they say, now, good luck, Al. The true sign is when they say, good luck, Al, here's $5 for your campaign.
Oh, okay.
And then you got them.
And that's where the 20th Amendment picks up, right? Only $5 for the campaign.
That could be part of it. But nowadays, who's going to give $5 when they know somebody can give old Simpy or somebody $5,000? But that's a key. If they give you $10 and a check, you got them.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name. Can you make a short comment or statement, please?
Oh, sure. It's Robin Berry.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Al.
Yes, Robin. How are you?
I wonder if you can maybe in real quick summary, tell us the difference between an omnibus bill and a budget bill. Just because I know I hear a lot of different things about it, and you've been there, so you would probably know.
I'm going to let him answer when I hang up. Is that okay, Robin?
Okay, no problem. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'll tell you one thing, Robin. You don't miss much. You're a sharp gal. Ann and I admire your the way you follow things. I think you're saying the difference between an omnibus bill and a
budget bill. Yeah.
A budget bill is supposed to be limited to those things that have to do with the budget. The omnibus bill is what we used to call a place to hook your rail car on the thing that you know is going to pass. The omnibus bill got everything in it but the kitchen sink, and your staff of either party All the guys know that bill is going to pass, and you're going to figure how to hook your favorite thing on that bill. And usually you can, if you are on the Appropriations Committee, you can say, look, you promised that you'd give me some more fencing at the Elk Refuge. If you'd give me something for the Witches Museum in Salem, Massachusetts, and then the great trade-offs go on, but the omnibus bill is the best place to hang on everything you got in your back of your head you've had for years, and the budget bill has certain restrictions or limitations is what you can put on it.
There's your answer, Al Simpson. Oh, it's always fun.
Well, fun for you.
I enjoy it.
Anyway, okay, thank you very much.
We will see you next month, hopefully. Huh?
Oh, well, I think I'm coming back. You think you're crazy, I'll tell you that.
Okay, Al, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And that will do it for Speak Your Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.